You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now we want to talk about a line of work, for lack of a better word, that's been struggling. Earlier this month, Pope Francis hinted that he may visit the U.S. next year. Francis is attracting a lot of attention to the Catholic Church, but the Church has a recruiting problem. A lot of its clergy is aging. It's happening in other faiths, too, as religious leaders retire. Some religions advocate student loan forgiveness as a way to attract young people. If they do significant community service, their loans can be forgiven under a federal program. We found one young person who has made religious work her life.
We're not the type of people that you run into in the everyday, you know?
That's Sister Colleen Gibson. She just took her vows to serve as a nun. She's 28 years old. We spoke on the campus of Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia. It's a gorgeous sunny day, the first day of class. Not a lot of people out. You can hear cicadas making more noise than students. Gibson says, as far as nuns go, she's pretty young.
Even in like the young nun crowd, 28 could be on the young side of things. Really, young nuns, young sisters, range anywhere from their mid-20s into their 40s or 50s.
Describe for me what you're wearing right now.
Okay, so I am wearing... I got a pair of sneakers.
You don't look like a nun.
No, I mean, I've got khakis on. I've got a t-shirt. It's the first day of classes here at the college, so it is fluorescent yellow. It says lost across the front. It's got a question mark. And so, really, I have a, you know, shoulder-length haircut. The only thing on the campus that really distinguishes me as a sister from anyone else is that I have a little necklace on that is a cross with a globe around it. But otherwise, if you met me on the street, I would look like any other 28-year-old woman, really.
This is a momentous decision, and I would imagine one that you came to after a lot of thought and a lot of prayer. Walk me through how you did this.
Well, I grew up in a Catholic family, and so growing up, I didn't know any religious sisters. They weren't in my home parish, so the only sisters I knew were like Maria from The Sound of Music and Whoopi Goldberg from Sister Act. Those were my sister models, and I knew that I wasn't either of them. And so when I was probably about 13, I started thinking, like in the back of my mind, this thought popped up, like, I think I want to be a sister. And then I immediately like ushered it out of my head. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, why would I want to do that? I've never met a nun. And like, nuns are these women who, like, stereotypically, like, they're in a habit, they wield a ruler, like, they're not overly happy unless they're spinning around on the tops of mountains. Like, but there was something, it just kept on coming back to me. And so one thing led to another, and I decided eventually that I was going to move to Philadelphia and get an experience of being with the sisters without making any like formal commitment. And so I came to Philadelphia and I worked as a parish social associate. So I went out into people's houses and I got to hear their stories and really figure out how to connect them with resources. And so that was the day-to-day life. And the more and more that I was with them, the more and more I sensed that it wasn't just something I admired in them. It was something that was deep within me, too. And so being able to make that connection and say, like, there's something about me that fits here.
When you decided to stay, that's a commitment that is not just spiritual, but that also requires thinking about how you're going to live, how you're going to afford to live. How'd you make the money part work?
Well, the first thing you kind of understand when you start hanging out with nuns is, like, simplicity is key. And, like, they take a vow of poverty. Like, we take a vow of poverty. And so it was, at first, it was a shift. I mean, going from working a full-time job and having a salary and being able to support myself and being able to really spend my money on whatever I wanted, it was a big shift to kind of, when I first moved to Philadelphia, before I had made any commitment, I was working on a stipend that was, you know, $100, maybe $200 a month. And so to go from, you know, being able to spend that in a couple of days to I'm going to need to make this last for 30 days was a huge shift. And you really, things are shared communally. It's like living with, you know, seven other roommates. So what is mine is my sister's.
Did you have student loans that you worried about?
I did not. I was lucky that my parents, when we were growing up, they taught us to save. So from from first grade on, we had a savings account, and they made sure that we were provided for. That was understood when I was growing up.
You know, there's this question about getting young people into religious life and whether loan forgiveness can help do that.
I think that it would be an added perk to have loan forgiveness. But even as we look at religious life now, there are a lot of programs. The National Religious Vocation Conference is working on, you know, loan forgiveness and really how do people pay off their debts, and saying like it's a secondary thing. That if you come to religious life and you're a wonderful candidate, yeah, it would be really wonderful to be able to pay off your debts, because congregations are struggling financially. Nobody wants to take on that debt. And lots of orders have candidates pay off their debts before they're able to enter. I don't think that coming to the convent or entering religious life.
The Catholic Church has had a rough few years, a rough decade. Sex abuse scandal trying to find its way. Is it hard to go out in the world and put a young face on the Catholic Church?
I think it's something that I've had to deal with all my life. I mean, really, as a millennial, this is the church that really I've grown up in. I was in middle school when the sex abuse scandal first broke. And so it's something that I've had to deal with my whole life. But there's something new to, as having sister in front of my name, being a sister of St. Joseph. You come on as a representative of the church. And even though we are separate from the hierarchy, we are an independent thing, people assume, they meet you, and it brings with it a certain responsibility and, I don't know, a certain nuance about, you know, who we are and how we're connected to the church.
Do you want to try to bring more young people into religious life?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, what will attract people to religious life is most authentically living this life. It was when I was with sisters and I saw them most authentically living, you know, poverty, chastity, and obedience, when they were really being true to who they were, that was what appealed to me. It's because of that deeper call to connection, that longing for something more in their lives. And that's when I talk to young adults. When I go out with my friends, when I'm in the bars or I'm out getting coffee, what is most appealing to people is that wanting a deeper understanding of who they are and who they're called to be in this life. And so tapping into that and saying, you know, who you're called to be might be a person who serves others and serves the church and has a deeper relationship with God that goes beyond just being in church on Sundays.
Sister Colleen Gibson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And that brings us to the weekend number. Back to that news about Pope Francis's trip. It's going to cost a lot of money for the cities he visits. According to the New York Times and the Associated Press, the bill for a papal appearance can cost millions upon millions. Last year in Rio de Janeiro, the cost was estimated to be up to $160 million, or, as in the case in Madrid in 2011, as much as $53 million. All that money pays for security, logistics, and celebrations.